On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast with myself, Michael, and Johnny. Johnny, how are you?
Good evening. I'm very good. Yeah.
Nighttime pod.
Another one. We're doing a lot more of these, which is we were saying that we actually have way more fun and way more crack when we're together. Which obviously we record a lot of these via Zoom, but we also just live like 10 minutes down the road from each other. So doing these in person is always a lot more fun. But yeah, I'm all good. I watched a lot of the Zurich. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would enjoy it. And now, to be fair, I only really enjoyed it because Shane and Rory were in the hunt and it looked like they were having a crack.
They looked like they really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I was away at the weekend. I was over at Old Trafford, so I was in and out of the golf.
Chancing away in the Trafford pub. Just giving that was it. Giving it 90.
If I go hoarse and my voice disappears, that's why. But they looked like they... I mean this in a complete compliment way. It looks like two lads got up for their club for some tournament and they were just loving it. Like,
I don't know, I actually think it looked like the complete opposite, where they're just like, listen, we're here to have the crack. If we win, all the more.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. It was just, we're going to enjoy this, like.
And they're like, listen, we'll have a good time, we'll go out for dinner, have a few glasses of wine, have the crack. If we win the tournament, sure, isn't that great? Now, I think that was probably Rory's approach to the tournament, for sure, because we spoke about this before. Shane's had a very rocky start to this year. So I was talking to someone from Shane's camp as late as yesterday, and he's obviously not into the signature events. He's 14th in the Aon top 10, so basically top 10 of those.
He got invited, didn't he?
He got invited into Bay Hill,
yeah,
and did very well there, but that wasn't enough to get him into those. And so... He actually really needed to win this event to get into like Wells Fargo and into the, like, you know, the rest of the season's signature events
and a 2-year exemption. Not that it's not too bad way to
get a little bit of extra job security from his side, but you just kind of forget that, like, yeah, Shane's won loads and he's done lots, and then actually you find out it's actually only his third PGA Tour win. He's won as much, if actually not more, on the DP World Tour, but you're just like, fuck, this is actually only his third win, and like, it's his first win since the BMW in Wentworth in 2022,
and it's Shane's first win in America since 2015.
Yeah, in the Bridgestone.
Yeah, and he was up against Bubba, was he?
He was, yeah, he was indeed.
Did you forget about Bubba? I haven't seen Bubba in so long.
He's playing on live. Don't worry, we'll be talking about that in a minute. But it was great to see the two lads just having the crack. And yeah, it looked like for them, it was just kind of like a free week, basically. They're like, listen, if it goes well, great. If not, sure. What are you going to do? Chalk it up to a bit of crack.
Did you see how they got into it?
Ah, yeah, of course. Everyone's been talking about it.
I love that Roy's like, it was a real boozy lunch, and Shane, do you want to go play that? Because he's like, I've never played it. It'd be a bit of crack.
Do you know what? Like, I'd have loved to hear Shane's version of that story. Because obviously it was just after the Ryder Cup, and like Roy's like, oh, it was a boozy lunch. Shane's like, we were on an absolute fucking tear.
Third day on the rip. And
complete bender. And Roy just turned around and he go to your fucking sea straight. Yeah. You know, the versions of that story, I say, from the two of them would be very different. Because, yeah, like, it's right after the Ryder Cup. You've just won. You're high on life.
I definitely wasn't
a boozy brunch, like a Prosecco brunch.
It was the third day rollover. And I guarantee you, they were like, if they
hadn't showered, yeah.
They were still, so the next morning, they came into breakfast. And Shane was like, you promised me last night we're playing. I was like, oh, did I? No, you did. Put it in your schedule. He's like, I've already texted Harry. Harry knows we're going to New Orleans.
But look, it was great. It was really good to watch them win it. And I don't think they had loads of fun. And it seemed like a team win. It did.
Like, I know, like, at certain places when I was watching, I dropped in and out of it, or I looked at a few highlights after day one, day two. Like, Rory was obviously smashing it around and was playing well. But then, like, the times where Shane came in, like, they dovetailed really nicely.
Yeah.
In certain areas when they needed to, like, I thought
Shane got carried a little bit, like, particularly in the foursomes. Did, yeah. Like, Rory on the Friday really carried him, and then they got off to a slow start on the Saturday, and then all of a sudden, just kind of like around a 10 on Saturday, Rory just goes, "Oh, I'm gonna start playing golf now."
Yeah,
and just goes on an absolute heater. And then same thing on the Sunday. It was like Shane's putting was a little iffy all week, and
his chipping was good. He had some really, really good little approach shots, yeah. Like some of those awkward little.
Yeah, I know. I will say, it's a lot easier to chip the ball, I think, if you're Shane Lowry, when your partner hits the ball 380 yards on a 388-yard hole and you've got an 8-yard chip. I think you're like, this is unbelievable.
But then there's also
this
more.
This is great, crack.
There's also more pressure because you're like, I need to chip this ghost to give him a chance at yeah. something.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, like, it was like the perfect like visualization of like, you do what you're good at. Yeah. I'll do what I'm good at. So on these short par fours and long par fives, you just hit the golf ball into orbit. And then I'll just, you know, I'll be the big guy with the good hands. That's yeah. what I'll, that's what I'll be.
Exactly.
To play into that stereotype. But no, like I was saying, it looked like a team win from like Darren Reynolds, who's obviously caddying for Shane at the moment, put up a post on Instagram. We've had Darren on the podcast. It's great to see him. Like a good Irish team win in every sense. Definitely. You know, like Harry Diamond's in the bag. We've obviously said our things about Harry. Like Rory, like it's just like a solid, like just look like four mates out there having a crack. For 4 days, and fair play, I was delighted for them. Now,
if they hadn't won,
it would have been a bad tournament.
Yeah, because no one else really got any juiced up at all, and
but there's also like
it's going to be one of those ones.
They're playing against like Zach Blair and like.
But if I ask you who they beat in the playoff in 2 years' time, you won't be able
to
tell me.
Not a chance. No way. Martin Trainer and like Chad Ramey. Like I've already forgotten who Chad Ramey is, and like I know Martin Trainer knows he's won on the PGA Tour, but like. It was really a field full of like, you know, plumbers and farmers really, and then those guys, the two of them, they were the favorites to win it this week. It would have been disappointing if they didn't win it.
Yeah,
as much as for them it looked like it was, you know, a bit of crack, and sure, if we win this is great fun, but if not, whatever. Same time after they won, Rory, like Rory and Shane did their post round interview, and they're like, yeah, look, it's great to win. Shane in particular was like, yeah, listen, 400 FedEx Cup points, like you're not going to take that away from me.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And like he's dead right, like this was business for him. So you know, like it's a win's a win. We said this about John Rahm when he went over to Mexico, just go get the win under your belt.
Yeah,
like, just go and get it done. And who knows? This could be that catalyst for Rory to go on a bit of a heater.
Yeah, like I mean. You kind of have to take Rory pre-Masters, after Masters for the last couple of years. He seemed to be kind of more chilled and more relaxed. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard to tell with him. But yeah, like you said, I just, the leaderboard, like looking through it, the lads you wanted to see, even like I was actually really interested, McIntyre and Dietrich.
They did well.
They did well, you know, and then...
Gary Keegan and Ryan Fox did a little bit of a run on the final day. But like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele were a disappointment. They just fell off.
Both Fitzies, okay, they're in the whatever. I think they're top 15, whatever. They were grand, but like it wasn't that enough juice. Like Morikawa was poor.
Yeah, and like Luke Liss and Henrik Norlander being in the final group, you're kind of like, man, they're not it. You know? Like they're not gonna get it done. And you just knew that from looking at them. And I was saying this to a few people over the weekend that were asking me about it. I was like, you have like Zach Blair, yeah, fair enough, good player. And then like you had those four guys in the final group who are definitely going to look at the leaderboard and go, Jesus Christ, there's Rory McIlroy and there's Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Much more so than like any other kind of field event, because they are by far the biggest names in that field.
Yeah.
And for those guys that I think between the four of them had two wins between like the two teams in the final grouping.
And Rory and Shane have majors.
To, yeah, exactly. You compare that to between the two of them, five majors, 26 PGA Tour wins at that point.
Two Ryder Cup appearances.
Yeah. So
good job, but just well together anyway.
And team event, you know, they have form as a team. It's the one event where I think everyone else turned around and goes, oh, fucking hell. they're there. Well, you may as well just give it to them. What are we doing here today?
I think it's also like a weird situation in pro golf at the moment with obviously live and team stuff and how much we like the Ryder Cup, and then you've kind of got this one event kind of thrown in here that's like, it's just, I thought it was enjoyable. Now, would I love that if you had all the big lads at it? And yeah, I don't know, is there,
would you like it to be a signature event? Because I think the one thing that was really just lacking from this was just like your Scotty Schefflers and JTs and Jordans and stuff like that.
Yeah, JT and Jordan together.
They
Scotty and exactly, Sam Burns.
They're the guys that have the potential to give you a bit of magic. And that's kind of what you're looking for.
Fowler and... Yeah.
Like, I like the format. I like that it was four ball, foursomes. I like that alternating of it. I thought that was a bit of crack. I thought that was good fun. But... I think if there was more people...
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, yeah.
Not more people. I mean, like, better people.
Yeah.
Bigger names.
Bigger names. And I don't know, like, but I'm still having issues with the team event and individual all the way through the season. I'm not sure how... I can see the benefits, but also I don't want to take away from the idea of who's the best this week, and, you know, who's the best golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's an elevated event, you had all those lads in it. Could you
and
be,
it's a,
like...
And it's a smaller field, you know, yeah. Like... Like the elevator events are like what, 66, like 80 people max. That's 40 teams. That's what the cut was. Cut was 40 people.
If you
did that over the 4 days, like pace of play would be a lot faster. It was slow watching golf.
Yeah, it was.
It was brutal. So if you half that from the outset, but you've only got like the big names, you're like, ah, this is a good watch. Like watching Zach Johnson and Ryan Palmer play golf, I was like, this is.
I also think if there's two lads, you could have a bit of more of a whack off lad without it being too serious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if say Rory's been introduced, like. She's JT and Jordy weren't great, yes. And then like having a little bit in the driving range because you've got the comfort of a partner and whatever. Yeah, I think an Elevena would be. I think an Elevena this would be pretty quick, pretty good. Like especially considering,
like
whatever. Like last was, you know, the Scotty one after the Masters. Like I wasn't as juiced up for that, and that was an elevated event. I think you put this in there maybe instead of that after the Masters. It's a little bit of a it's a bit different.
Well, I think RBC's got that like. Fun family week
type. Yeah,
but I agree, I don't think it should necessarily be an elevated event. Now I think RBC, who also sponsored the Canadian Open and stuff like that as well, they've been pretty hammered by things over the last few years.
Mm.
So that was probably just like a, we'll give you an elevated event and it'll be grand type of situation. But like what I would love to see from this is like you could make it like a quarterly thing. Right, so every three so
four
months,
four tournaments,
so you have like your three, we'll call them qualifier events. Mm-hmm. Same teams for all three, so like Shane and Rory throughout the year are together for the first three events, and you call them like what, April, July, and call it September,
yeah.
And then like the final one is in like October, just the start of that autumn swing or the fall season, whatever they call it, and so like the. You have like a cut from that. So like I say, it's like you have 30 teams or 40 teams in the first three events, and that gets cut down to like 20 or 30. Like it gets like cut in half essentially. So the finals is like top 15 teams or 10 teams or something. And that could be a way of making it matter rather than just being like, here's a one team event thing.
Yeah, like I think that's the thing I'm struggling with even with Liv is the two of them running together all the time. Because it pulls away from both of them.
For sure.
Now. You know, if the world tour and you had it everywhere, whatever, and you had this whatever team won every third week, you know, with the individual, then that might actually be something that you get into because you'd still have people been able to, okay, who's the best in the world? We're still going head to head or having our own playoffs, but then also you have for the people that are getting into golf or they're not, you know, nerds like us, you've got something that's a little bit different and a little bit more juiced up. But again, it's all about, as you said, it's the field.
Yeah.
Like if it was pitch and putt, but you had the top lads in it,
yeah,
it would be enjoyable. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think there's definitely something there, but how it all plays in, how it all works, yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, like I've listened to a good few podcasts on it at this point as well, and it seems like that's everyone's at that point as well. They're like, it's close to being a good idea,
yeah,
but it's not quite there. But no one seems to have the solution either. No one seems to know, like, it's just missing this thing that's and then it'd be perfect.
Well, maybe we just like, do what Rory, and if you win, you have to sing karaoke, like Rory did singing Journey, sick. Don't Stop Believing. Like, that's what you have to start the party with that.
Yeah, you thought he got a good voice on him.
I was very surprised. I don't think it was great, but it was better than Shane's. Shane looks probably sounds like Ronnie Drew, like, you know.
I don't know. I say Shane has got like a
Ballad man,
an old Irish song in him.
Yeah, you know? He's a ballad man. That's he can pull something out. But I was surprised. Fair play to Rory, and he obviously wasn't pissed.
Fair play
when he did
Rory
it.
To do it.
I don't think I've ever sung karaoke with where I'm not hammered.
No.
So I totally respect Rory, and
like fair play for doing it in the first case. Like, but it seems very out of character for Rory on like a typical week for him to just step up and pick up a microphone and sing.
But like, I also think when he probably, I'm going to get inside his head a little bit, which I always try to do, which makes no sense for anyone. But he seemed to really enjoy himself. And I think the fact he was saying, Shane asked me to, or I asked Shane, thought this would be cool. He's probably going, what, like, maybe he's looked at his life and goes, maybe I don't win another major and I'm wasting all of this time stressing and trying to go hard. Whereas, why don't I just enjoy the fact I'm playing? He says he's enjoying playing golf again. Why don't I pick the stuff I want to do?
Yeah.
Maybe he goes to Mrs. I don't really want to go to there, do you? No, not really. Well, let's go to there and we'll do a mini holiday afterwards, whatever, you know, and we'll just ball out. And I think if that's where he needs to go, and if I'd rather see him do that and not win another major and just play golf and enjoy it and come out with different things than be this overhyped, stressed, like nearly crying, snap a club around his neck, week in, week out, not win it, because it's just not enjoyable at all for anyone even to watch him. So
it's and like it's an emotional rollercoaster getting him to do, like following that. Yeah. Whereas if it was a case of you're just like, man, he looks like he's having so much fun. The irony is, if he goes off and play like that, he's probably going to go off and win a major.
Probably because he'll be
because
more chilled.
Like,
and
this
just
is great, I'm just enjoying it. There's no stresses. And yeah, the ironic thing is he'll probably go off and play unbelievable in a major. You go, what have we been doing for the last 10 years? It's been so stressed, fuck.
But I totally get that. When you're one of the best in the world and your aim is to win every single week, and you have, you know, everyone, including me, has put you on this pedestal where I still think he's the best golfer in of our lifetime, you know, and that is a stress, you know, when he's the type of fella that feels like if he doesn't win, he's letting people down. I think like he takes that to heart. I think he feels like he's letting fans down, he's letting the Irish people down. He's like, I think when he plays shit in the World Cup, he feels like he's letting his teammates down. He harbors all that, where I don't think like Brooks Koepka could give a shite about anyone. Do you know? And I think that's just Rory's personality. But I loved when Shane like lifted him up.
Yeah.
Just and it was like this, you know, this number eight picking up the scrum half after a try. It was just like, I was like, oh, that's exactly what I like. It was just, I loved that part of it. And like, also I did hear Shane said he doesn't own a green polo, so they couldn't wear green.
Also, I know that's is just not true.
Like they definitely still have their Irish World Olympic polos they could have worn.
My wife was just like, surely he could have just like bought a polo. And I was like, well, no, and like sponsors are all embroidered. And
surely they've said
and then
that.
She goes, well, like he clearly could have just asked. ask his manufacturer, get me a polo. They knew they were doing this for ages.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, that's a fair point.
Do you think Rory rang him up on Tuesday and went, man, I'm just thinking, like, what are we gonna wear?
No, apparently Rory was like, we're matching every single day. It was like Rory's idea to just go fully into this from like a teammate's perspective.
Love it,
which is the great.
I'm all in on Rory doing that.
I completely agree. But the ball thing, this is the ball is a funny one.
Also,
the rules will not have changed.
Okay, I wanted to ask about that because what I saw sometimes I was like, that's a Shrixon, but that's also telling me like, what's,
yeah. So the way that you can change the ball after each hole, basically, right?
So who's teeing off can pick.
Yeah, but actually, what they decided to do was whoever was playing, hitting the approach shots, play that person's ball because you generate the most spin and control with your approach and wedge shots.
With your ball.
With your own ball. And you're most comfortable with your own ball. Yeah. So it makes total sense that like
Rory's teeing off. He hit a six tricks and didn't really matter.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
Shane could get his. Okay.
For sure. And so the only, so actually what was really interesting about the Sunday, that Rory and Harry went out to the 18th green, went greenside. Right, early enough in the day, with a bag of Shane's Strixons. Like, it's on Instagram, it's on Twitter there now, it's really good. And Harry just goes, we're just covering all bases. We just figured that if we're coming down the stretch, Shane's hitting the approach in, the miss is, the bail's left here.
Sounds like a really good caddy with that theory. Yeah. It's kind of going against you, some of your theories here, Johnny.
Well, no, listen, I did say I never thought Harry's a good bad caddy. Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's just once you've been with anyone for 10 years and you don't want a major, maybe you start looking.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And so he starts hitting chips from the exact spot where he hits the chip on the 7 second hole. I was like, fuck, fair play. That's, I mean, like, yeah, covering all your bases, fair play to the guys. That was, they did their due diligence and, paid off. paid off in a big way. That chip shot was unbelievable. But yeah, apparently it was Rory who was like, we're matching every day.
We're not doing
we're
this.
These, yeah. We're wearing these. Like, he, on the first day, he was like, oh, we're wearing like all white. Like the white tops, white trousers. And Shane was like, fuck off. No,
that's just not Shane at all. Like, I could see them. Imagine like Roy just arrives at his hotel room. He's like, give me a look at your wardrobe. And Shane's like, no, get out of the way. And he get out of the way. Like,
shit.
No, we're not doing that. Yeah.
But it was a good win. Good win for the boys.
I think it's important for both of them in different ways, I think, as well.
Yeah. So like, Shane isn't into the Comcast top 10. So he's not into the signature events.
Oh, it has, but does he not get him with a win? Like, does the win, like a win gets you in regardless of where you are in the,
I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know.
Because that's what I'm like, Jake Knapp won. Didn't he get in into everything once he won? And then they were saying you're winning a not so great tournament, yet you're getting all the benefits. You know, that even if the field's not that great and you win, because I think I put Jake Knapp in the Masters as well.
Okay, no, you're dead right. You're absolutely right. So what they won was 2-year exemption, even if they aren't currently a member, but obviously both of them are, 400 FedEx Cup points. They also gain entrance into this season's 3 remaining signature events, the next one coming in 2 weeks at the Wells Fargo. Yeah, that makes complete sense. I don't know why I thought for some reason that...
You're just looking at the...
they also made a nice $1.286 million. Now, I mean, like, that's obviously not a lot for them.
It's nothing for Rory.
But, I mean...
Also, the belts were kind
of
cool.
Your caddy making 10% of that or 8% of that.
I did still take
that for like a bit of a jolly of a week. You're like,
nice dinners.
120 grand for a fun week out. Take that.
Also, the belts remind me of like the old Open belts.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that.
You know, as opposed to the claret jug.
There's got to be some kind of a reason why that is. I wonder, like, because they looked so like the Open belt.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if there's some kind of link between New Orleans and golf there.
Yeah,
probably not.
I just thought that was cool.
I liked it. Do you see when Shane and Roy putting it on? There was a... Shane was like, they're a bit snug.
Yeah, you could see the lads. Imagine the two lads, they were like, you know, engraving it. They were like, oh, shit, Shane. Shane's going to win here. Well, do we have any extra stuff to make his belt a little bit bigger for him?
Yeah, God. But no, it was a good win. I enjoyed it. Don't know if it would. Yeah, listen, it wouldn't have been as good if anyone else had won it, because it just, like, the whole juice was Shane and Rory, and even like the commentators in the States were saying all the way from Thursday, they're like, this is the highest attendance that this event has ever had, and it's all because Rory McIlroy is here. And I was like, that's like a lot of pressure to put on one person, like that, and like he's not even Tiger, you know.
Yeah,
but. Like, how aware of that do you think Rory is? He's just like, and how aware of that do you think everyone else is? Someone who's been playing that event for 5 years and has, like, you know, tipped away and done pretty well and made a bit of a paycheck, and they just look around and go, no one is here to see us. They're all here because Rory McIlroy is here.
Yeah, they know. They know exactly. They, like, you know, and I think Rory is a bigger star than, I would say,
he's bigger than anyone else. I mean,
he's still bigger than Scotty.
He's still bigger than everyone else.
He's still bigger than Scotty. you know, Wyndham Clark, Schauffele, Ram. He's still bigger than them.
For sure. Right, we're going to move on to the DP World Tour briefly and then Live Adelaide. But before we do that, just a reminder that the winner of our Jameson Golf Links and Masters giveaway was Dan Kyo. He won it on Instagram. His Instagram handle is DanJ_Kyo3. Dan, well, congratulations, firstly. We will tag you on Instagram stories, but send us a message and we will get that prize, that four ball to Jameson Golf Links, out to you. Congratulations. You correctly, if not all that unbravely, picked Scottie Scheffler to win. But to be fair, he was the favourite, so we'll let you away with that. Congratulations. Enjoy it. We love Jameson. It was really good. It was a great golf course.
Oh, super golf course. Yeah. And like just really quirky in certain areas. And your favourite Biarritz greens.
Oh, look, love Biarritz. yeah, potential venue of a professional tour event in the coming years as well.
That'd be sick.
I know they want it. I know they want it. Right. Speaking of potential tour events, onto the DP World Tour. I'm going to get this name so wrong. Yuto Karasaga. Oh, that's just us. No, that's not correct.
Yuto Katsugawa.
That sounds good. Yuto Katsugawa wins the ISPS Handa Championship in Japan. Such a cool trophy. Oh my God. I don't know. What do
really?
I think it's like it's
Shane wins that tournament and God help me is to wear that thing.
But
or Scottie Scheffler.
Like, but it's reflective of Japan's culture and history, right? In the same way that our trophy is a water for crystal thing. Now, like if the winning jacket for the Irish Open was like a little leprechaun hat and a green jacket, I think then that would be kind of taking the piss a little bit.
Yeah,
but like this is like a samurai helmet, like warrior's helmet, and whatever the little cardigan dressing gown thing is actually called. It looks cool. I like that.
Komodo.
Listen, look at you, cultured man.
I get that, and I'm normally one all for that, like in the Canadian Open ice rink. Like I'm getting like it. I think the only way it looks kind of cool is because he's Japanese.
that's fair enough.
Anyone else wearing it would look ridiculous. Now, if you won it and you won a samurai sword, that would be sick.
That
and like in your trophy cabinet, there's a samurai sword.
Yeah,
you know, that would be very cool.
I can get behind that. If that was like if you got like samurai swords, that would like I like that. That's a great idea.
You actually would see. I think that's one that Tiger would actually keep. You know, Tiger says he never used to keep random PGA Tour trophies or the majors. I think he'd keep the samurai sword.
That's great. Oh my God. Kind of feel like they missed a trick there.
Yeah. Also, I did find it weird just seeing the ISPS Handa everywhere. I felt like I was back in Gallagher.
That's fair.
A cool kind of golf course though. The 14th, I loved. And it just completely suited my eyes. It was the one where there's like the tee box and there's just this like line of perfectly straight tees, like a long corridor.
Okay.
And for some reason, I just thought it was such a cool T-box.
It was cool as well that you could see like Mount Fuji in a bunch of places. Yeah, I thought that was pretty sick. I didn't catch a lot of this, if I'm going to be completely honest. So it just looked like a really, really cool event. From the couple of players I spoke to in the field, they were all saying that Japan's great. Really, really enjoyed it. The course is unbelievable. Again, it comes back to what we were talking about. Is like the golf courses on the DP World Tour are characters, you know?
Yep.
Like all the players in the field were posting photos of different holes with Mount Fuji in the background because, again, it's iconic and it's a big part of that region and obviously Japan. I thought it was cool. I thought it looked great. Would have liked to see a bit more fans at the tournament. I think you go from what we were watching in Live Adelaide and the PGA Tour, it looked a little quiet.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I think that's the one of the biggest things is like, you know, where are we going to put tournaments? And this is the disappointing that that hand is no longer in Galgorm, because I think the golf fans in Ireland will always go out in droves. Like, we'll probably get on to what we talk about Adelaide and numbers wise and stuff. So it's disappointing to see that there wasn't that many. What I did like was Christian Bezuidenhout had a really good week. I'm a big fan of his. And then also the kid. Kid had a decent week.
He did. He had a good week. Good week.
The third round kind of snookered him a bit. He had a shot of 71. But it was a good week for him. I think he's starting to hopefully hit a bit of form. Also, one thing I did know is that Katsugawa, his coach was Hideki's coach when Hideki won the Masters. So Hideki's no longer with him, but Katsugawa is with him now.
Interesting.
I just thought it was a nice little nugget.
Why would you leave a coach that helped you win the Masters? That seems interesting.
Yeah, it's just strange. Maybe he didn't want to travel. Or I don't know the intricacies of it. But it was just... It was an interesting one. Like, I mean, shooting 63 was very good. Like, he pulled in some serious long putts as well.
Yeah.
I'll talk about him again in the drip watch, though. I do have a bone to pick with him.
Okay, fair enough. Before we get onto Liv Adelaide, which realistically is probably after Rory and Shane. Like, if Rory and Shane didn't win, this Liv Adelaide would have been our biggest story, I think, of the week. Just on the ISPS Handa Championship. We will obviously be doing a live stream from the ISPS Handa Irish Disability Open the second week of June from Rogenstown. That is going to be on June 12th for the final day, final round. We will be doing a little bit of work with ISPS Handa and Golf Ireland. So, yeah. So moving on to Liv Adelaide. 100,000 people came to watch Liv Adelaide, Michael.
I sent this to you in a text because I actually knew your reaction was going to be as you were going to get annoyed.
It's just
because
like,
the big hullabaloo that they got 100,000 spectators. Yeah.
And now, listen, does Australia deserve more golf? Absolutely. DP World Tour goes there for three events at the start of the year. Is that enough? No, absolutely not.
Also, it's not a stacked field when it's not one of the big ones on DP World
Tour. True. Yeah.
I think the hype around Liv Adelaide. In Belfast. Sorry.
You're tired. He's tired. Yeah. It's been a day.
The hype about Liv being in Australia, I think it's more the fact that it's just has big players at a tournament.
Yeah.
More so than Liv were unbelievable. They ticked all the boxes. Everything was perfect.
For sure.
So I do say that. And in terms of...
It's not like every Liv event is like that either. Like the Vegas event turnout was pretty poor. Like the one in Mexico wasn't great either. Like the Liv Adelaide event is an outlier.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Exactly.
It's not the bar. It's not the baseline.
The way I'd say it is like when you have the Open going around, when Shane won it, you know, it was great, but because everyone went to the Open and there was loads of people and there's been Opens where it's in a great golf course, but... has been as many fans and it doesn't look as good. So I think your point being, does Australia need something else? Yeah, 100%. But you could argue about South Africa. There is still so many different places that could do it.
Yeah.
And that the only way it's ever going to happen is if there is a world tour ever down the line. Yeah. And then, but having said that, if the lads don't want to play four rounds of golf, send them to South Africa and Australia and like having this a bigger one. One of the reasons they go to the PGA Tour is they don't have to travel. So if there is this world tour, will they all be happy with it? Who knows?
There's a lot there. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. I just went on a bit of a rant and a run there.
Their big thing was like the crowds are great. The crowds were loud and there were loads of crowds. But sure, I was saying to you that like, we had like at the Irish Open this year, there was between 25 and 33,000 spectators every day over the 4 days. I know, I think they added the Pro-Am day as well, so 5 days. So that's like... That's 130,000 people over the 5 days as well. You're just like, it's the same as this event. Yeah. Ireland's a lot smaller than Australia. But
yeah.
It's the same numbers, you know? But listen, it was good. It looked like a good event. It looked like a lot of fun. Going into the week, there's a video going around of the Stingers, my beloved Stingers team, just endearing themselves a little bit more, I thought. They all shaved their heads because... Charles Schwartzel's wife, Roz, is currently undergoing cancer treatment. And so it was a really nice touch. Like everyone on the entire team, like as a show of solidarity with her, shaved their head. Not just the four guys on the team, but like all their caddies, all the backroom team, all of them did it. And I was like, that's cool. Like, it's just a nice bit of camaraderie that got that team really does seem to have. We're talking about like Shane and Rory, like they're countrymen, they're good mates. Like Stinger are all South African lads. They're yeah. all they all do seem to be like good mates as well.
Yeah, and it's again, it's another insight into their personalities.
Yeah,
and I think that that's
what
how
they
you're
care
gonna,
about.
Exactly what yeah. they care about, but it's also how you're going to root for them when those things like that happened. But my boys, the yeah, lads with the yeah. same haircut, did pip your lads in the end.
I noticed you've grown the size of the hair out there. That you've kind of
it's just
kind
long.
Of abandoned the model.
I need a haircut. It's still at the back. It's just I need the sides shaved again.
I'll do that for you. I'll shave it for you. I'll do it right now on the podcast.
I don't know what I'll do next, but I might go for another. I might just go for another month because it's getting seriously long.
I was saying to Megan that for because like summer's not ready. I got. Usually I go with a tight fade, maybe like a blade one or skin fade. I was like, I don't think it's like summer, you can't really be getting away with that. You just be burning the back of your head. Like, so I was like, I might go for like a blade one or blade two in the back, but keep the length on top of the hair and just let the top grow out a little bit. Just for a ridiculous effect. Just try something out.
Like we can just wear a hat if it doesn't look good. Like,
I mean, my dad's wedding's coming up in a while, so I think it'd be so funny
you could get a
horrendous haircut.
You could have a V
for the day
and blonde the top of it.
Just the tips. Oh, yeah. Get like cool blonde tips.
Yeah.
So funny. I might not be invited to the wedding if I do that though.
It'd be too late.
But yes, your mullet cohort got the better of my South African boys.
Yeah. The Aussies.
talk me through it because, like, again, Stingers have been playing really, 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 really good, consistent golf team. Burmester obviously won there in Miami at the last event. Stingers have been on the podium a lot. We're playing the consistent week in, week out game, whereas Ripper GC came out of nowhere.
Can I say before you get that, the jeering of Dean when he's taking his bunker shot and the chanting as he's hitting it was disgusting.
But that's the live. Like that's the whole brand.
But
like,
I have no problem the cheering minute he's finished the shot.
Mm.
Silence, bump this contact, then do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because I still feel there has to be a little bit of like the waste manager, I get all that 100% and like, you know, but they're in the run to win it.
Yeah.
I've no problem lads blaring the tunes if your man's trying to come 25th out of 30. Like, does that
Yeah,
but
well, yeah, whatever
this guy
shoots, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
sure. I want to the competition, and you know,
I think
I would have given the finger to the crowd.
Yeah, but you see,
I might have snapped if I'm surprised. Like all credit to Dean Burmester not snapping.
I think you know what you signed up for. You know, like in football, they used to be like silence when penalty kicks were being taken. Now fans are going ballistic and they're jeering at the goalkeeper and at your man taking the penalty. And I think this is just kind of like that equivalent of it. If you want silence and if you want someone to respect the kicker or respect the golfer, don't join live because that's what you're not going to get. Like similar yeah. like when Ram was playing in Vegas the second event of the year. And he turned around to someone, himself and the guy, we go, oh, quiet, please. And then he realized where the fuck he was. He goes, yeah, that's not going to work here.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I like the Aussies wouldn't have done it on cricket. They wouldn't have done it on rugby. So it just, you know, I personally get them like happy, delighted that he didn't make it to the world because they wanted the Stingers to win. Like, no, I get that and the competitiveness yeah. of the team, no problem. But
yeah, and like, you can see it if you're going to use the PGA Tour comparison. You could see it when Martin Traynor pushed the putt. You saw it miss the hole and you saw people cheer because everyone wanted Rory and Shane to win. And like, there's no bones about that. Everyone wanted to.
But no, on his backswing.
Yeah. But you could see like when the ball missed the hole, you could see guys lift their hands up and cheering and you're like, yeah, look, that's fine. Cheer for your man. But
oh, like if I'm a, listen, the United game, when Burnley got that penalty, if Burnley had missed, I would have gone nuts. You know, and celebrated them missing the penalty.
Did they draw that game?
Yeah, it was dreadful.
Class.
Yes. Yeah.
Still, could be Liverpool fan.
It's Man United. Leo got a rake of stuff from me and my brother from the mega store, so he's still been brainwashed. He's perfectly fine. I think the Australia versus South Africa thing was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you had the two teams. Would I be interested in if all teams had a kind of country thing?
I think so.
Harrington, Shane, Rory, and Seamus.
Yeah.
As a live team, you know, yeah, that would be maybe kind of cool.
I think it'd be great. Like, I think you could buy into it way more.
Yeah.
You know? Because then even like from the American side, you'd have this stupid American going, USA. Because yeah, that's the only chance that they seem to have.
But like, you could have like the New Yorkers. You know, you could have like, you know, whatever.
That'd be sick actually, if you had like,
And they had like New York Yankees baseball caps on and wearing them backwards. Like you could do that. Again, the still thing is about it is like, I liked all of a sudden then there was a playoff with the teams, but I just think playing the teams and the individual event, it just doesn't work simultaneously in my opinion.
Yeah, it's... I just don't know
how best to run it.
How do you run it? Like, I don't know. It's like is the team thing like the first day? It's a sprint. Like, is it a one day 18 holes, low score, all four scores, or is it just like look what we do when we play in like tournaments in four ball like for team events? Like, oh, best two scores count over 18 holes. It's you just do that and that's day one, and then it's like just two. It's like 36 holes for the tournament, or like, I don't know. Like, what do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you do?
Do you go in teams and then like, look? I think my match play could be so good. Yeah. I just don't know how it fits in with everything.
No, me neither.
Because you can't have lads playing one round of golf, and then being out and then picking up the wage packet. From a company's point of view, they're like, your man has played 5 rounds of golf in 5 weeks. And this bloke has played like 3 or so easy, and we're paying him. There's also that part of it.
Businesses around the country are going to be having the conversation where, like, where is Frank? He's been playing golf for the last 3 days.
Yeah. You know, so there's that part of it. I do think the thing about Liv is like they're trying to look as many different opportunities and looking at things like, I don't know where I saw this, but they're looking at maybe like having like golf under the lights, having like floodlits. With the floodlights out and playing around, or maybe looking at some sort of home and away tournaments if they're going into countries and stuff, you know.
What does a home and away tournament look like?
Adelaide was a home game for the Stingers.
Yeah, but then so for then like the 12 other teams.
Yeah,
like,
but if you got if they are kind of more country based, if each team has a like a HQ. Then you go, if you're in the top 10 next year, you get a tournament there.
Yeah.
So let's say somehow the Majestics end up in the top 10 in the standings. Do they get one in London? If there was an Irish team, would they get one in Ireland?
Yeah.
I don't know. You maybe like, so it would be...
Down in Dubai or something.
There you go. But like, there you go. So like winning in one season gets you... Like in the Eurovision, if you won it, you got to host it. So then like... I can't believe it, but I'm not surprised I compared Liv to a Eurovision Song Contest. But like, imagine like an Irish team, a putt dropping for them to win, and us celebrating going, we have a tournament here next year that we get to go to.
That would be manic.
Do you know what I mean?
That would be great.
Or like if it's like, or like the New Yorkers, they'd run one, it's going to Bethpage, or you know, one's going to Japan, if you know, or whatever. I think that would be kind of cool to look at.
There'd be madness to try to organize that. From an operations perspective, that would be madness to organize.
Yeah, well, I know.
Because you, like, think about it. Like, just from the Irish perspective, like, we know where the Irish Open is going to be this year. Mm. We know where it's going to be next year because, like, the groundwork is being put in and, like, the tour are at K Club again. They're just, like, already looking at bits and bobs and where they're going to do it. And they're talking about where they're going to have the 2026 Irish Open. Like, they're already in talks with 2 or 3 golf clubs. You couldn't just like, okay, guys, 11 and a half months from now, we're going to be here in this place. Like, the golf club would turn around and go, no, you're not. Like, we have things planned.
Yeah, or maybe maybe the following year. But like, I just think the fact that all of a sudden if a putt is dropping, it means that we're getting a golf tournament as well as your team winning would be sick.
It's more kind of like the Formula One, where like when the Formula One comes to the Netherlands, that's kind of seen as or to Austria, it's seen as like, you know, Red Bull team's home game, whereas in Silverstone it's kind of seen as like the Williams or the Mercedes kind of home event, you know. I think if the teams were nationalized in Liv, you could kind of buy into that a bit more, but they're not, so I don't know, what can you do?
I think it's kind of a cool theory, and I think because you can't, maybe try something a little bit different as well.
I am intrigued to see what the Singapore Golf Club is like. I just see, looking at a couple of the photos of it, it looks amazing, but sure, Singapore looks amazing. Like, Singapore is just somewhere incredible. I'd love to go to a live event in the States, because I think it would just be way more chaos than Live London or whatever else.
I don't think it's gone into the States. I don't think it's been accepted into the States as it has been other places, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think,
like, you know, I said, Adelaide seems like an outlier.
Yeah, I think when they're, if they're picking places that's starved of big tournaments, then I think that's going to be the way. And if they wanted to do it, they would just handpick places where they know that, you know, that are wanting these golf events.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to know how much, if they had one in Ireland, would it sell out? Because it just would, yeah. But like, would people just be like, we have to go to that? Like, for example, I mean, you said Doombeg, right? For example,
the reason I said Doombeg is because there was massive speculation.
Okay.
Last year that they were going to be in the 2024 season. Nothing came out as a definite plan, and I put a request in. I asked them, and they're like, we don't know. There are no plans that we've been informed of this happening, but they are open to hosting the tournament. And I would say, like,
okay, I think they'd sell it because
just, I'd go.
I think the Irish public golf fans would go, even out of curiosity, and be like, they just want to follow Cam Smith or John Ram, walk around to actually watch them play golf.
But like, we, like, in Ireland, for a country with so much golf in history, similar to Australia, how many professional tournaments do we have a year? We've got the Irish Legends Open, we've got the Men's Irish Open, the Women's Irish Open, then like
the odd tournament,
like Challenge Tour.
Yeah, and that's what sort of one with Handa left.
It's like four events, and you're like, we'd love, and like, no one's really going to the Challenge Tour event.
No.
Like, let's be honest.
No, there'd be more going to the East and the West and
yeah,
the close.
Yeah, absolutely. So if another professional tournament came along and you had Bryson, you had Brooks, you had DJ, of course you'd go. It doesn't matter if it's Liv. Everyone's like, yeah, of course you'd go.
I'd love to see what it would be like, you know.
I think it'd be great.
So funny if it was really quiet at certain stages because, like, no, this is a golf tournament. I know, because it's Liv. Listen, buddy, this is a golf tournament. We know the decorum.
So obviously we're talking about the East and the couple of the West getting pretty good crowds. We did a location scout and did a little bit of filming at Beltray at the County Louth Golf Club, because again, on the final day of the East, we are going to be doing our live stream. So we needed to actually like play the golf course, get to know it. We've actually, neither of us had played it before. It was on our bucket list of courses we wanted to play. We were very, very lucky that Ryan invited us out after we did our little bit of work on the golf course. What do you make of the course, firstly? It was your first time playing it, my first time playing it, first time seeing it properly.
Yeah, I think it's obviously it's a links course, but I think weather changes that course completely on its head.
Yeah, we got it on very quiet.
If we went and played it in a different type of weather, I think everything changes in it. Like, forget even clubs and stuff, but approaches, everything changes, which I think is a brilliant links course. I actually think about the intertwining of it, nipping around and round instant. I actually enjoyed that.
Mm. There's a fair bit of crisscross.
Yeah, the crisscrossing, and yeah. I think I like the idea of just see that thing there. Yeah, well, that's the fairway, and you're going, oh right, okay, I'll do my best. But what a golf course, like.
Yeah, no, stunning. Like it's when I was walking around, they got the actual clubhouse first, and they have like all the big plaques essentially with every winner of the East and loads of the photos, and you just get a good sense of history, because obviously the East is hosted here every year and has been for like donkey's years.
Yeah.
100 or so years. Nearly 100 years now, I think. 1929. Yeah. So there's just so much, like, there's so much history to the course in terms of who's won there. Like, Shane's won there, Roy's won there, like Ken Carney, friend of the podcast, has won there. JB's won there like six times as well. Yeah. It's like the who's who of golf has kind of won that, and so it was great to get out there and play it and see how tough a test it is. I think the holes that stood out for us were, firstly for me, I loved 3, the par 5, blind second shot.
Oh, what a
really
hole.
Good hole. Now, I mean, I eagled it, so yeah, I definitely love it.
Yeah, but I think they're
great
kind of,
hole.
They're kind of two. Yeah, what a great hole, and like, that's real linksy quirkiness.
Yeah,
that, like,
absolutely.
Loved.
Yeah, If you try to like design that now, you're like, okay, so there's this massive mound in front of the green, and if you miss the green to the left by like a yard, it all falls off to this little ravine. But there's also a big mound to the right hand side, so you can't bail out right too far either.
And then
someone will turn around and go, yeah, no, don't do that.
And then your approach, if you fly it a bit to the right, you're going to go on another green.
Yes. Yeah. Like, who did that now?
Yeah.
Which of us did that?
Oh, I didn't even fly the green. I flew everything. I got yards completely wrong. Yeah, that was a really cool hole.
12 was another great hole. Really enjoyed 12.
What was the hole where you were up on the like the top of like Pride Rock?
That was 12.
That was 12. That's a great hole.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you were in, I was like, oh, he's in big trouble. And we obviously went looking for it. And you got up, and I was literally, I'd say, 12, 14 feet below you when you were up there. And yeah. I was like, what have you got? And you're like, I think I have a shot here.
Yeah.
And you hit a really good shot then into the green.
Made birdie as well.
But like, sometimes in links, it's like, you know, you get a very good break from a bad, like, you know,
yeah.
And that was the beauty of it. And it's one of those ones where, like, when you go back and you're like, oh, that shot was cool.
Yeah.
And then is it 14?
14, bunkerless, short par 4, yeah.
But lots of like dips and hollows and all the way up to the green. A very cool hole. And then, yeah,
that was a hole that where like the greenkeeper was in like foul humor that day.
Like it was
tucked pin on the right hand side, massive little drop off. Somehow I missed the green on the right hand side. It was just completely boned. All I had to do was just take my bogey. I was just like, yeah, I didn't even hit a bad shot here. This is bullshit.
And was it the 15th then?
15th is the par 3. 16th is then where... So we played it off the blues, off the tips, because again, we knew it was going... Like the east was going to play it off the back tees. So we were doing a filming, so we wanted to play from the back tees for that. 16, you're driving over 15 green, dogleg to the right. It's where I hit it into the bunker. And you hit that beautiful tee shot.
Love that hole.
That great was hole. A very 16's a great hole.
Yeah. And actually, where the pin was on that hole... Like behind it, there was just a bank.
Yeah.
So like you could, like we were trying to do that like that kind of YouTube reels and where you knock the ball up the bank and have a roll back down.
Neither of us quite pulled it off.
No, but that was, again, it's linksy. It's cool. Like it's, you know, and I love that hole as well.
Yeah, and then 18's a really strong finish, par 5. The prevailing wind
long,
is just it's
long
just straight into the wind. You're just like, oh my god.
And it's like, I think the back from the tips. Like we went back to the tee box and it was like, oh my god, it's 100 miles away.
Yeah.
I
think you at one point for your approach had about 315 yards in, hit like a beautiful 3-wood.
Yeah,
like you just, you know, when you hear a shot cutting through the air, you're like, yeah, that's a great shot. And it went like 200 yards, literally 200 yards because of the wind. And you're like, do you think the green's okay?
Because it was like, I think it's fine. I'm feeling this one. I hit it, and you were like, oh. Oh no, it doesn't matter.
It's like you're grand. You've got 115 yards to go.
Yeah, exactly.
But great golf course, and like it's going to be such a good test, obviously, for everyone in the East. And we're going to be live streaming from the final day. We're going to have cameras on course. We're going to have on course reporters. We're going to be doing live from the East of Ireland with AIG and Golf Ireland. It's going to be really, really good. Looking forward to that event, and it was good to get out there. We're going to be out there again later on in May, doing a bit more filming, just to make it as good a program as possible. Any other business?
Fleetwood caddying for his stepson on the Challenge Tour.
I saw that. That was cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, and if there's anything that endears you to the guy, and like what I loved about it, there was obviously there was videos going on because Tommy Fleetwood's there, but Tommy was like enjoying himself. He's not like bored out of tree. Like he's fully involved. He's cleaning the clubs.
Yeah.
He's on yard. Like he's high fiving, you know, his stepson, and he's like getting full on. But like it was just funny because like he was wearing the Challenge Tour bib. Yeah. I don't know why in my mind I was like, he has to. It's like it's not like he's like, sorry, I'm Tommy Fleetwood, I'm not wearing a bib. Like, but it was just funny to see him in a caddy bib.
Return to the Challenge Tour for him, because obviously he came through the Euro Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And Euro Pro earned a card on the Challenge Tour, played in the Challenge Tour, and then obviously worked his way onto the Deeper World Tour. Kind of cool to see him back on it with his stepson.
Yeah, and like he didn't have a staff tour bag now.
That would have been unfair to do to him.
He's like, he wouldn't be used to carrying that many, that type of bag.
I don't know if too many people on the Challenge Tour have staff bags. Like for the same reason, like not too many people have caddies either.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but like even the staff, like the tour bag is for like, because you're carrying so many, you need to get stuff because of the weather or whatever.
Yeah.
I
suppose you also, like Tommy's also based out of Dubai now for the most part. So the Abu Dhabi Challenge is like what, an hour or so down the road from his house. So yeah. I imagine they're like, Let's nip down.
But I thought that, I just thought that was really cool, and it was kind of like a good feeling thing that was on.
Yep, very good. And then we are both heading down to Mount Juliet on Wednesday. We are filming another video, a follow-up video to the Odyssey Putter custom fitting video that we did last year, or 2 years ago now at this point, actually. So with the Odyssey AI 1 putters that have come out, you are getting your very first fitting.
Yeah, and I'm actually quite nervous if he's going to be like, tell me how bad I am.
Well, he knows that you're like a 16 handicap.
He does, but I might just be like, man, how have you? You're just terrible. But think of it this way.
You get this fitting, you can like think about how quickly you could drop. Because like a big stat that goes around is obviously like amateur golfers, we give away the most strokes on the greens. Like three putts kill amateur golfers. We did the breaking 90 video with you. How you nearly four putted.
Oh, well, yes.
You didn't.
Just
but,
about.
But you nearly did. So like think about how often amateur golfers like are putting with the wrong thing.
Yeah, I am looking forward to just seeing the kind of, not the science behind what I do, but just have someone who knows what they're talking about explain my tendencies. Are you tendency to push it? Your angle, or you actually middle the ball quite well, but you never actually hit the middle. When you do hit the middle, it's beautiful, but you actually go at the toe. Do you know what I mean? There's, you know, or you actually have a slight arc, or you don't, you know. I think there's little things that obviously no one knows unless you've been fitted, because you can't look at someone putting and would, you know, tell them what they're doing. So that part of it is pretty good. And I'm looking forward to that. I just hope, I wonder, like, I'll have lasers on my forehead where I'm looking and all the sort of, all the gadgets. You'll have all the gadgets out.
All the bits, yeah. So that'll be really good. We're going to have that video coming out in the next couple of weeks. We have that Breaking 90 video coming out basically when I finish it. I'm currently just doing the graphics on it at the moment. I'm not going to give anything away on your Breaking 90, but I will say that it went down to the 18th green and it was incredibly close.
Yes. I think it is a bit of a roller coaster ride of...
Even the final hole was a roller coaster.
Yeah, I know it is a complete high handicapper video, and then like I think a few people have said to me like my game is Russian, it's just roulette. You know, you just don't know if I'm going to shoot myself in the face or I get away scot free.
Yeah. So Dudley, yeah, busy week coming up ahead. It'd be nice to get down to Mount Juliet. Mount Juliet's also up for sale, so we might go down and see if anyone's got a little bit of inside track on what's going on there, who's going to buy it. Do you have a spare 45 mil?
I don't.
The Euro Millions is on Tuesday. It's 165 mil. You could buy it and have change the spare.
That's true. And you could host a load of events down there, couldn't you?
Yeah, just have lived there all the time. It'd be cray-crack. It'd be so much fun. Alright, I think that's it. Are we going to do our bet of the week?
Yeah, well, considering a really poor return from us from last week, and we were giving it the big one, saying Deep World Tour was our game, was our bag, we were all good. I had Jasper Svensson.
Yeah.
Man, he missed the cut.
Jordan Smith did not do anything for me either.
Jasper just let me down. Like,
you were all on him as well, you know?
I bigged him up, you know, yeah. I was giving him all the kudos, but he let me down this
all
week.
All the kudos, is he running on Strava or something, is he? Are you on Strava?
No, I'm not. No.
The runners and our listeners will understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It was disappointing.
Yeah. So this week is the Volvo China Open. So the DP World Tour returns to China for the first time in a few years, actually. So it's back now, which will be very interesting. I tell you what. I know who I'm going to back for this week, and I'm going to lead off with that. So for a top 10 place at 12-5, I'm going with Bernd Cheeseburger. Bernd Wiesberger, former Liv player. I'm going Bernd Cheeseburger. He's my pick, top 10. Top 10 plus ties. So potential returns of 17 quid, 12-5.
I'm going to go with a kind of safer bet to see if I can get myself back on the right track. I'm going to go... Top 20 finish, including ties for Daniel Hillier at 6-4.
Okay, top 10 plus ties.
Yeah.
I like that. Daniel Hillier.
No, top 20.
Top 20 plus ties.
Yeah, and you get a win.
Very safe.
I'm just going to get a win back on track.
get 1250 back on the board. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, cool. So that is it. That is the bet of the week. I think Burnt Cheeseburger is going to get it done. Top 10. Daniel Hayler. I like that. That's a good play. That's a good play.
Yeah, he did well last week. He had I think he came at 11th. You know, shot some decent stuff.
Okay, very good. Right. Like I said, guys, we have got a busy week coming up. Our AIG podcast with Quinton Carew went out last week. You can watch or listen to that on our podcast feeds. We have Rob Moran coming up on the podcast next week with AIG, and we're recording 4 or 5 more podcasts over the next few weeks with AIG. And then we are also working with the Irish Legends Tour, promoting that event. We're going to be over at Sea Point playing the golf course, doing a sit-down roundtable interview with Roddy Carr and Des Smith. So that'll be good fun.
Proper legends.
Proper get it, like proper deep conversation. I think that one could go on for a while. That conversation could go for a while.
And could go into many different avenues. The two of them have I think they've got so many good stories that you could crack out of them on so many different topics.
For sure. So we're looking forward to that. And then we are also going to be joined by a few other kind of celebrities who are going to be in the field at the Irish Legends Tour event. Yeah, it's going to be busy, busy, busy few weeks. Obviously, we're working with Sports Direct as well. So golf season is here, well and truly. It is busy, but it's great. It's what we want. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week. Hopefully something happens in China for us.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.